sure later on in the week. We need to get into a little bit of it today, of course, and a look at this Manchester United move possibly for Juan Mata, and to also take a look at the Capital One Cup semi-finals that are taking place tonight and tomorrow. And there's no better man to have a chat with about these sorts of things than from the Daily Telegraph, a top journalist, one of my favourite guys to have a chat with here on World Football Daily, and one of my favourite reads as well. If you ever get on the Telegraph website and have a listen, have a read of his stuff, it's of course the one, the only, Mr. Jonathan Liu. Jonathan, it's a pleasure to have you on board, mate. Very happy New Year. I know it's a bit late for Happy New Year's, as I said yesterday, but I hope you had a very good festive period, mate. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks, Ollie. I'm making some bolognese.
You're making some bolognese. Oh, I'm very envious of you right now. settling, I suppose, for an evening of watching West Ham pull off the miracle comeback against Manchester City, maybe.
Possibly. I mean, I did have to. I mean, I did think about ways in which West Ham could do it. I thought maybe kind of wafting the scent of Chilean food around the around the stadium, or maybe putting pictures of Pellegrini's kids up might make him pine for home a bit and turn the coach round, or possibly in order to benefit Andy Carroll, maybe moving the goal about halfway back into the stands should see him banging them in with regularity. apart from that, I think it might be a tough one for them.
For a second, I didn't know where you were going with that picture of the kids thing. I worried you were going to threaten Pellegrini that I've got your kids, kind of Alan Partridge type thing. But no.
Well, no, he did this interview with a Chilean newspaper about over Christmas, I think, where he talked about how he got the way he avoided homesickness was to not look at pictures of his family or to eat Chilean food, and those are the two things he avoided because he has to remain professional and he has to commit fully to his life in Europe. So that's the way in, I think.
I certainly hope that doesn't mean he's just eating fish and chips all day every day just to get with the English tone of thought. It's going to be a very unfit Pellegrini if that continues. He'll be verging on Sam Allardyce's kind of size, I guess, at that point. In all seriousness, though, Jonathan, I mean, West Ham tonight is just playing for pride, but is it really important that West Ham put in a good showing to show they've got some pride left in themselves and in their squad at the moment? Because it's been a really rough Christmas for them.
I think that's all. If you're a West Ham fan and you've paid your 40 quid or whatever, I think they may have cut the prices for tonight's match. But if you pay your money and you go along, you just want to see some pride in the shirt. You want to see them string two passes together. You want to see some kind of very, very early signs that Roger Johnson and James Tompkins are on the same wavelength. You just want to see something to give you optimism for the rest of the season. Because it's around this time that a lot of clubs start, sending out season ticket renewals, that kind of thing. And you just want something to inspire you. The weather's horrible. Your team are down in the relegation zone. You're 6-0 down from the first leg. Just give them something to cling on to.
City, on the other hand, are they going to be wanting to just, you know, keep the winning momentum going more than anything else, and keep the goals coming in as well? With Barca on the horizon, and I noted Sky Sports last night did a 20-minute breakdown of Barca against Manchester City already, and we're a month away from that tie. But with that being so important and looming on the horizon, is it important for them to keep the goals coming and keep this steady flow of big wins?
Yeah, and the intensity, which is the main thing, because if they do have ambitions in all four competitions, as Pellegrini says they do, then it's really important that they get into the habit of playing Saturday, Tuesday, or Saturday, Wednesday with exactly the same intensity, with no let up. And this is the ideal, I guess, this is the ideal petri dish for them. Their away form has been patchy, although they did win quite well at West Ham earlier in the season. But it's one of those games where you can take your foot off the gas if you are so inclined. And it's really, really important they don't do that.
Are you putting the League Cup trophy already in Manchester City's trophy cabinet when you look at the remaining teams? And obviously Manchester United be the one that would stand out as being a competitive rival to Manchester City, and the season they're having, you wouldn't expect it to be a fair battle at Wembley were it those two at the end of the day. Are you giving it to Pellegrini as a first bit of silverware just yet?
I think massive, massive favourite City. And if you look at Pellegrini's record in cup competitions in Spain, it's one of those trophies that he's obviously, he knows that it's the fourth biggest trophy that he's competing in. But I just think the way that the way that Pellegrini has set them up mentally, it will take a huge effort, to even by Manchester United, to topple them at Wembley. They seem to have this winning mentality at the moment.
United need a big effort even tomorrow night just to make sure that they get to Wembley to potentially take on Manchester City. Let's not write West Ham off completely tonight, but it's unlikely they'll get.
Let's write West Ham off. That's one thing we can do. There are very few certainties, but let's do that.
Okay. We will write them off. But for United to take on City at Wembley, they've still got to get past Sunderland and trail after that first leg. It's a big turnaround being asked for United, because Sunderland could just basically sit and hold themselves deep and try and play for a draw at Old Trafford tomorrow night.
In the old days, and under Ferguson, I guess, you know, and it is still strange referring to them as the old days, you just knew that if United got an early goal, you knew they would get an early goal, and they would steamroller them home. But there's no kind of certainty with that this season. It's quite possible that Sunderland could turn them over again, especially if, like you say, Poyet has got them defending, you know, acceptably, not brilliantly, but acceptably. And it's quite possible that they will pull off a rear guard. And if it gets to the last 10 minutes and it's still 0-0 and United still need a goal, then that's when we really see the mettle of the mettle of this David Moyes United team.
Would it be a pivotal result for United if they were to come back from behind after that first leg and get through to the League Cup final? Would that be enough to maybe buoy this United side onto bigger and better things this season? Or would it just be, well, you're getting yourselves back on track rather than anything too special?
It depends how they do it, I think. I mean, if they win 4-1, it's a massive statement. If they win with a sort of a 90th minute goal, then all the headlines are about Fergie time, Manchester United recovering their old habit of scoring last minute winners. If for example, Sunderland pull one back, or for example, and United are hanging on in the end, or they have to do it on penalties, then it doesn't quite send out the same message, and you don't quite get the same. I saw one writer referring to it as this indignant sense of entitlement that Ferguson's United always had and Moyes is trying to find.
When it comes to United, obviously Rooney's coming back, making his way back from injury, as is Robin van Persie, which is a big boost for David Moyes. But talk as well of them possibly bringing in Juan Mata from Chelsea for around about £40 million. If they were to bring him in, and it's a big if, would it be filling a big gap, or would it be plugging up a hole that's already filled with plenty of players at United?
It's interesting to, because the paradox is, if there is a place for Juan Mata in the United team, why is that place not available to Shinji Kagawa? All right, they're different footed and they come in off different flanks, but essentially they would be working the same spaces, looking to play the same balls, and if there is room for Mata, I don't see how there's also room for Kagawa. Because we've seen how United flood that area, that kind of band outside the penalty area, maybe 30, 40 yards out, towards the centre, coming off the front. They flood that area with bodies. Welbeck does his work there. Rooney does a lot of his best work there. And if they are going to sign Mata, it doesn't necessarily follow that the players that they currently have, who play in that area, have much of a future at the club. So
it does seem a little bit peculiar. Is it extortionate as well? £40 million for Juan Mata? It'd be a big, big profit for Chelsea.
I don't know. In the old days, it would have been a freezer full of ice cream, wouldn't it? I find it quite distasteful. So it's almost kind of like otherworldly, like it's monopoly money. £40 million, £37 million, whichever figure you want to. It's a hell of a lot of money. But Mata is a Champions League winner. He's a World Cup winner and a Euro winner. He's still young. I think he's about 25. And cut that out. If he's actually 23 or 27, cut that out. But he's still young, and he's putatively in the prime of his career. So I don't. I mean, he's not that much worse than Ozil, who went for more. It seems fair enough in the current climate, which, disclaimer, is crazy.
It's very peculiar indeed. World football's absolutely balmy at the moment anyway. I want to get on to what happened last night and how this is going to affect West Brom. But before we do, there's talk as well, a loose link to Manchester United, this one. Paul Ince has been given the sack by Blackpool. Talk now of Tom Ince. possibly going down to Monaco or to Everton. What do you think, as we don't see many English players going abroad to kind of hone their skills, do you think it would be a good idea for Ince to be heading down south, down to the south of France, to test out what it's like playing abroad as opposed to staying in the Premier League the whole of his career, potentially from a jump to Everton and then on?
In principle, it is a good thing for English players to go abroad. I mean, you see it very often, occasionally in newspapers, they'll do a feature on an Englishman and some far-flung outpost abroad. In principle, it's a good thing. They learn different culture. They learn a different style of football. They learn a different way of approaching the game. Whether Monaco is currently the right choice for Tommy, I'm not sure. It's a massive leap. You have to be expecting that Monaco will be playing Champions League football next season. Mm. We've seen a lot of players move to Monaco and not manage to break into the first team. And you wonder whether Tom Ince is one of those players that Monaco can sign because they can. We sort of seen Traoré, who did a very good job at Angie, moved there and obviously found his way blocked and is now looking to move to England on loan. Whether it's the best move for Tom Ince, not sure. Whether it's a decent move in principle, yeah, you would like to see more English players going abroad because it does kind of bring us out of the cold culturally.
Now, Everton, I see the link where I've done here, Manchester United, Tom Ince, now onto Everton, who are linked with him. It's seamless, I think, Jonathan. Everton last night in action, it's more like an Eddie Izzard stand-up comedy sketch at the moment. It's Everton in action last night with West Bromwich Albion, and a huge uproar around Nicolas Anelka because of his celebration down at West Ham over the Christmas period, and it's led to West Bromwich Albion losing their sponsor at the moment, Zoopla, for the end of this season. This is a massive blow for a side, surely, that can't afford to lose £3 million sponsorships just like that. How difficult is Anelka, and to an extent Pepe Mel's decision to play him, start him last night, making it for West Bromwich Albion as a club?
It was fairly brainless of West Brom to handle the whole Anelka situation as they have. I don't think it'll be a massive hit financially. You also have to question Zoopla's motives. I mean, for example, let's say that you're an anti-Semite and you go up to Zoopla and say, I want to give you £300,000 for a house. Are they going to turn you away? No, they're not. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's terrific PR for them. Terminating the contract now rather than at the end of the season would have opened up all kinds of legal minefields, and they've got more free public. I mean, I didn't know what Zoopla did before this, so you have to you really have to question their motives. In terms of the furore, and this is one of those things that I feel fairly strongly about, in the sense that I don't feel as strongly about this as a lot of people would say you should. I didn't know what a quenelle was. Did you know what a quenelle was? And once you take that emotional element out of it, there are people getting offended by it who had no idea what it was, and getting offended in retrospect. And that's what I find slightly difficult to understand. It really it's moralizing it on the basis level. And you get all these sort of columnists and commentators and what have you, and people on Twitter essentially moralizing over something they had absolutely no knowledge of before he did it. And that's what I find kind of baffling about the whole thing.
It is peculiar. And now Romelu Lukaku's almost got himself involved in it as well, because he's not backed Nicolas Anelka, but he said he doesn't think Anelka should be banned for the gesture because he thought it was just a kind of an appreciation to a French comedian rather than anything anti-Semitic. And Everton have had to take this interview off their website. I mean, this has a possibility to potentially snowball a bit, with some players have already been caught up in it, with Sami Nasri as well doing it. This isn't just Anelka that's almost participating in this uproar in the Premier League at the moment.
No, and this is so much more complicated than going on Twitter and saying, you're a racist, you're a racist, you're a racist. Mm. This is, I mean, we saw what happened when the Euro Under-21 Championship went to Israel in the summer. A whole list, there were doubts about the veracity of the players on the list, but there was a huge depth of feeling against going to Israel that summer, and it didn't turn into mass protests or boycotts that were anticipated, but there was a huge depth of feeling there. And Lukaku, he's an intelligent guy. So is Anelka. Right, these guys aren't mindless pinhead racists. So are we going to condemn them for expressing... I mean, you may disagree with the views they hold, but they are sincerely expressed views. And I'm going to wager that Romelu Lukaku and Nicolas Anelka know a good deal more about French politics than most football columnists in this country. So, is it the right timing for him? Probably not, but I think that there's a lot of people who want to rush to judgment, who find it a lot easier to say you're a racist rather than actually thinking about what are we going to do about this. And it's so easy to stand in your pulpit and just shout you're a racist. And it needs to be a maturer discussion than that.
Well, Jonathan, I'm glad you've been able to bring an element of maturity to the discussion around the Quinella this afternoon. And we appreciate you giving us some time to talk about that. And, of course, the League Cup semi-finals and Tom Ince as well today, man. We always appreciate you coming on. Look forward to catching up with you very soon indeed, my man. And hopefully we won't have to deal with any sort of Quinella-type story for the rest of this season. But you can never count that with the Premier League, I guess, can you?
Until the next racing scandal, Ollie. Thanks for having me.
Cheers, Jonathan. Take care, mate. Have a very good evening and enjoy the Spag Bowl, mate. Have a good one.
Cheers.
Jonathan Liu there joining us here on World Football Daily, talking to us about the English Premier League and, of course, the Quinella scandal that continues to bubble around West Bromwich Albion. Pepe Mel's decision to play Nicolas Anelka last night, was it smart on West Bromwich Albion's part to put their under pressure and under fire French striker in the middle of this big argument again? An argument that, of course, Nicolas Anelka started with the Quinella gesture at West Ham earlier on this season. Big thanks to him as well for taking us through a little bit of the Tom Ince transfer, possibly to Monaco, possibly to Everton. Should English players, much like American players, be trying to get abroad to play some football, to learn a bit of continental style to their game? Is that what we've been lacking in England? Let us know your thoughts. Show at worldfootballdaily.com, at WFootballDaily.